Luke's Gospel, chapter number 15 tonight. And I love you too, preacher, and I praise the Lord for you. And Brother Jerry, hearing you sing that brought back a flood of precious, precious, absolutely precious memories. I was 19 years old the first time I stepped foot at Faith Baptist Camp, Brother Sammy Allen. And he turned me loose and let me preach there. What a man of faith. He said, just won't you exhort a little bit? That'd be fine. I said, yes, sir. And he said, now, I want Brother Jerry Mundy and his wife to come and sing. And I had never seen nobody play the piano standing up. Of course, I ain't going to tell you where he learned how to do that. He learned that at Bob Jones, praise God. I'm saying. Man, he got to singing, I can still go free. And a wave of praise and glory blew through that place. And brother, listen, one fellow threw a flower pot. He got so happy. He threw a flower pot. And son, I'm telling you, the glory came down. And that has been, a long time ago. But I'm glad they're still singing. I asked Brother Monday how old he was. He told me he was 74. And I, 73. Well, it ain't much difference. And still singing for the Lord. And I'll tell you, I like that, don't you?
Amen.
And I like that consistency, faithfulness unto the Lord.
Amen.
My daddy told me something years ago before he passed away. He said, son, he said, if a man changes from what he's always been, it means one or two things. Either it means he was always wrong, and then he finally got it right. Or it means he was always right and he went wrong. He said either way, he owes his followers an apology. But I'm glad God's always been right. And he never has been wrong. So you don't ever have to apologize. It did good to be in church tonight. Turn to somebody beside of you and say, Lord, God, I'm saved. Turn back around and say, you ought to be. Go ahead, brother, try that. See how that works out. The Lord is good. If you're saved tonight, raise your right hand. If you know it, raise your left hand. If you don't know your right from your left, just say, praise the Lord. I got to say this. I feel like I need to say it. There's a little phrase I haven't heard in several days. Roll Tide. Oh, what music to my ears. Oh, my. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 15 tonight. Look in verse number 5. And when he hath found it, he layeth on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth his friends and his neighbors together, saying unto them, rejoice with me, say this with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Come down, if you will, tonight to verse number 9. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, sit with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. And come down tonight to verse number 24. Notice what it said, for this my son was dead and is alive again. Say this with me. He was lost and is found. And I love the last line. And they began to be merry. Three times in this passage we read the phrase about something being lost, but praise God it didn't stay that way. It was found. And man, that is the story of the believer tonight. That is our testimony. I once was lost. And I like that once. I once was lost, but I'm glad tonight I have been found. I believe tonight when you come to chapter 15 of Luke, it is the very heart of Luke's gospel. In chapter 19, you'll find the purpose of the book, where Jesus said in chapter 19 that the Son of Man has come to do what? To seek and to save that which was lost. And in chapter 15, the whole heart of the gospel opens up. And you see the great purpose of the gospel. You see the great purpose of the Savior. To come and to seek that which is lost. I believe in this text tonight is a vivid, clear picture of the lostness of the sinner outside of the grace of God. And may I say this tonight, that every man and woman and boy and girl outside of God's grace is a lost sinner.
That's right.
A sinner by birth and by nature and by choice. Notice in this text tonight, I believe, is a threefold picture of just how lost we are or were outside of God's grace. The first verse that I read demonstrates the sinner like a lost sheep. The parable begins with the sheep that is lost out in the desert. This sheep, because of a choice it's made, has wandered away from safety, has wandered away from the shepherd, and it's out in the distance, it's out in the desert, lost and can't find its way back to the fold. You say, what has that got to do with us? Isaiah 53, the Bible said, we like sheep have all gone astray, but the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And in the New Testament, Simon Peter picks up that thought and adds this phrase, we all like sheep have gone astray, but now have returned unto the shepherd and bishop of our soul. There is a sheep that is lost out in the desert. It's lost out in the dust, and it can't find its way back. It'll die out in the desert unless somebody goes and looks for it. Can I remind us that's where we were before God got a hold of us? We were out in the wilderness of unbelief, and we had died in the desert of rebellion. But I'm glad when I could not go to where Jesus was, He came to where I was. And so we see a sheep that is lost out into the desert. And then you come to the middle part of this parable, and we see the sinner pictured as lost silver or as a lost coin. Now you say, brother, how in the world can that lost coin ever picture a lost sinner? Well, notice what a coin was made for. Notice the whole purpose of a coin. It was made to be used in the service of the king. And on that coin is stamped the image of the king that it represents. And as long as that little coin is lost, that image of the king is lost, and it cannot live up to the purpose in which it was created. You say, now what's that got to do with us? I'm glad you asked. When God created us, He did not create us for us to float our own boat, call our own shots, run our own life. We were created to honor God and serve God and glorify God. And therefore, when we're lost in sin, we're not living up to the purpose in which God has created us. And just like that coin bears the image of the king it represents, can I remind you, when God formed man out of the dust of the earth, He created us in His own image. And every one of us tonight bear the image of the eternal King of glory. And God created us to serve Him, and to love Him, and to magnify Him, and to glorify Him. But as long as we are lost and in our sins, we can't live up to our purpose, and that is to serve and glorify God. And so we see the sheep is out in the desert. And we see this piece of silver is among the dust or the rubbish of the house. And then you come to the third part of the parable. And we see the sinner not only as a sheep, not only as the silver, but we see the sinner as a lost son. This young man that's down in the hog pen. Now notice, the sheep is lost because of a choice that it made. This silver is lost at the fault of another. But this boy is lost because he went to the hog pen and stayed in the hog pen. You know what this is a picture of tonight? Just how lost man is outside of the grace of God. He's lost because of the fall of man. He is a sinner by birth. He is lost by his nature. And he is a sinner by choice. He was conceived a sinner, and he lives a sinner. And if he doesn't get saved, he dies as a sinner, lost without God and on his way to hell. Now this boy that pictures the sinner is lost in the hog pen. And you know what he does? He shows you the results of being lost. He shows you the results of living a life of lostness. For notice what happens to him. Sin takes him farther than he wants to go. It keeps him longer than he wants to stay. And I promise you, it costed him a whole lot more than he wanted to pay. I mean, it bankrupts him. It cost him his friends. It cost him his family. It cost him his future. And by the time the text just about comes to a close, this boy is down in the hog pen. I mean, son, he's humiliated. He is abused and used. And he's about to eat the slop that the hogs has been eating. Can I remind every young person in this room tonight, there's a price tag on sin. There's a high cost of low living. And the devil will make a fool out of you. And he'll make a clown out of you. And so here it is. Here's a sheep that is out in the distance. Here's some silver that's down in the dust. And here is a son that is in disgrace, a picture of the sinner who is a sinner by birth and by nature and by choice. Oh, but as Paul Harvey says, page 2, here's the rest of the story. The sheep doesn't stay lost. The silver doesn't stay lost. And the boy doesn't stay lost. Can I say that again? The sheep doesn't stay lost. And the silver doesn't stay lost. And the son doesn't stay lost. Oh, can I say that one more time? The sheep doesn't stay lost. And the silver doesn't stay lost. And the son doesn't stay lost. Praise God, aren't you glad? The story of your life, you didn't stay lost. You didn't stay a sinner. You didn't stay away. You didn't stay condemned. And you didn't die without God go to hell. For Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And I'm glad He sought me. I'm glad He found me. I'm glad He saved me. And I'm not lost anymore. Oh, for not only do you see a picture of the threefold lostness of the sinner, but in this parable I see a picture of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. You say, oh my, do you believe in three gods? No, I believe in one God. But He's manifested in three distinct personalities. And by the way, it's not first person, second person, and third person. It's not God the Father way up here, and God the Son in the middle, and the Holy Ghost on the bottom. It's Father, Son, and Spirit, all three with the same attributes, all the same with the same characteristics, all same power, and Godhead. Can I remind you tonight, there is no jealousy or rivalry in the Godhead. You say, I don't understand the Trinity. I don't either, but I do believe in it. But I do know this tonight. There's a woman in North Carolina that calls me son. There are three ladies in North Carolina and Florida that call me brother. There is a real special lady in Georgia tonight that calls me husband. Well, along with the other few choice words at times, but husband. And there's a son in Georgia that calls me daddy. And there's a daughter in Georgia that calls me daddy. There's a whole lot of people that call me preacher and brother Joe. But there is just one me. And I can hear somebody say, thank God for that. But I want to just tell you this. I'm a piece of flesh. I'm limited. I'm weak. I'm beggarly. And if I don't have a problem being a son to one, and a husband to one, and a brother to three, and a daddy to two, and a preacher friend to a whole lot, and still be one me, can I remind you, God, who is sovereign, and who is omnipotent, and who is eternal, don't have any problem being Father, Son, and Spirit, and still be one God. In fact, tonight, all three of the Godhead have a distinct part in our salvation. Let me say that again. All three members of the Godhead had a distinct part in my salvation. You say, how is that? Well, it was planned by the Father. It was purchased by the Son and performed by the Spirit. Let me say it like this. I've been selected by the Father. I've been saved by the Son. And I've been sealed by the Holy Ghost. One for my justification, one for my sanctification, and one for my glorification. Let me say it like my old preaching daddy was saying. If he'd come out of glory and he's preaching this tonight, he'd say it like this. He'd say, hey, God the Father fought it. God the Son bought it. The Holy Ghost wrote it. The devil fought it. The Bible taught it. But I got it. Hallelujah. I'm glad the Father got in on it. I'm glad the Holy Ghost got in on it. I'm glad the Son got in on my salvation. Hallelujah. Save, save, save. Woo, I'm enjoying this. For in the first part of the parable, you see a picture of God the Son. You say, where do you see God the Son? In the shepherd that's looking for the sheep. Oh, you see God the Son in the shepherd is looking for the sheep. You say, what kind of shepherd is Jesus? Well, He's the good shepherd. What kind of shepherd is Jesus? He's the great shepherd. What kind of shepherd is Jesus? He's the chief shepherd. He is the good shepherd that hath appeared. He is the chief shepherd that shall appear. And He is the great shepherd that doth now appear. You say, how do you recognize the good shepherd? Well, it's pretty easy. Jesus said, everybody that came before me are thieves and robbers. But I am the good shepherd. How do you know the good shepherd? He says, here's how you know the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. You say, what does that mean? Well, you look at all them other shepherds till the great shepherd came. The little lambs had to die for the shepherd. All through the Old Testament, them little lambs had to die for the shepherd. But bless God when you get in grace. The great shepherd dies for the little lambs. I see God the Father. I see God the Son. I see God the Holy Ghost in this parable. I see God the Son in this shepherd. You know what he's doing? He's looking for that sheep. And the Bible said of the King James, he searched until he found it. He searched until he found it. He searched until he found it. He didn't say how many mountains he climbed. He didn't say how many rivers he swam. He didn't say how many deserts he crossed. How many beasts he had to fight. He searched until he found it. I wonder if there's anybody in this room tonight. You're glad for the day he got on your trail. He didn't give up on you. And he climbed the mountain. And he forded the desert. And he crossed the river. And he spanned the valley. And he searched until he found you. Oh, when he found it, he didn't upbraid it. He didn't take his staff and beat it, but he put it on his shoulders and brought it back to the fold and said, hey, it's shouting time because my sheep was lost and now it is found. I wonder if there's anybody in this room tonight. You remember that blessed day when you were lost and undone with that dolorous son, but he found you just in time. He found you just in time. My feet were near to destruction. I was so close to hell. My heart was already blackened by the flame. But when I couldn't go, the where Jesus was, he came to where I was, and he found me, and he saved me, and I'm glad I'm in the fold, and I'm not lost tonight. I'm safe in the arms of the shepherd. I see God the Son. Oh, but in the second part, I see God the Holy Ghost. In this woman that's looking for the silver, I see the Holy Ghost. You say, Brother Joe, how in the world do you see the Holy Ghost in that woman looking for that piece of silver? Notice what she's got. She's got two things helping her on her journey. Number one, she's got a light. And you know what she's doing with that light? She is shining it in the dark places. And then in her other hand, she's got a broom. And what is she doing with that broom? She's sweeping a path. She's clearing a path to make sure there's nothing between her and that little lost silver. You know what that light is a picture of? Of the Word of God. Do you remember when you thought you was okay and you was as good as everybody else in the church, but the Holy Ghost took the light of that book and shined it into your heart and in the most dark places, and there you were. That was a bunch of sin and a bunch of junk and a bunch of excuses between you and the Holy Ghost. But he took the broom of conviction and he wiped them all away and he moved them all away and he swept till he cleared a path. I just want to say, you ain't never been shined and you ain't never been swept till the blessed Holy Ghost gets a hold of you and shows you you're lost and leads you to God. Thank God for old time Holy Ghost wrought salvation. Thank God for the Holy Spirit that finds us and introduces us to Jesus. She's a shining that light and she's a sweeping in that broom. Boy, it's not an accident that the Holy Ghost used a woman to demonstrate that. You say, why did the Holy Spirit use the woman to demonstrate that? Because if he'd have used a man to demonstrate that, it wouldn't have no meaning. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, you housewives, back me up on this. George comes in and says, I've lost my keys. And the first thing Ethel says, where'd you lose them? And George wants to say, Ethel, if I knew that, bless God, I'd go find them. And she says, George, have you looked in your room? And let me show you George's definition of looking in his room. He walks in, looks around, nope, they're not in here. Just let me say this. If you think George is a bad looker, wait till it's a teenager. I said, if you think George is a bad looker, wait till you see a teenager. Here comes a teenager. Mama, I can't find such and such. And Mama says, did you look in your room? And the definition of a teenager looking in the room is to walk in and say, yep, I looked in there, but I can't find it. Then here comes Mama, and she's got a broom, and she says, hey, did you look behind the door? Did you look under the bed? Did you look under the rug? Mama goes to that closet, and you're saying, Mama, in the name of God, don't open that closet. Mama, if you open that closet, you're taking your life into your hand. Mama, if you open that closet, an avalanche of stuff is going to bury you, and the FBI won't even be able to find you. But here comes Mama. Oh, Mama's definition of looking is turn the light on. Mama's definition of looking is look under the bed, look under the rug, look behind the door, because she's got a light, she's got a broom. She searches in the corners, she searches in the crevices, she leaves no places unsearched and no stones unturned. And in a few minutes, Mama said, look, right here, if you search, you'll find it. Bless God, I was a hiding behind church membership, water baptism. My daddy was a preacher, and I was a pretty good old boy. But honey, the Holy Ghost, I said, the Holy Ghost got on my trail, and he searched the crevice, and he searched the corners, and he left no stones unturned. And I'm glad he found me. But he did more than found me. He led me to Jesus, and led me to Calvary. And I believe, and I got sealed with the Holy Ghost under the day of redemption. Thank God for Holy Ghost salvation in Jesus Christ. Woo-hoo! Oh, I see God the Son and the Shepherd. I see God the Holy Ghost in the woman. Oh, but now, I see God the Father in the life of the Father of this prodigal son. Let me give a little warning for the next part of the sermon. If you're here tonight and you are a hyper-Calvinist, God bless you. We love you, but you may actually hyperventilate before you leave here. I'll give you a fair warning. You might hyperventilate. One of those hyper-Calvinists a while back got on me and said, Joe's a good old boy, but he never presents any deep thoughts. He's a good guy, but he never presents any deep thoughts. Oh, can I share? Can I share? Can I share with you just a moment a deep thought that I had at 4:30 this morning? I think it's a real deep thought that I would love to share with you. Oh, and here it is. I thank Dr. Fleur. It's a real deep thought. You ready? How many are ready for Dr. Arthur's deep thought? Here it is. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish. Honey, that's as deeper than it gets. Aren't you glad tonight the grace of God goes deeper than our sin and deeper than our past? And no one is excluded, and all are included. Whosoever will, let him come. Hallelujah. That's the gospel tonight. Then I got to hurt. You know what you see in this text? You see the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man not contradicting, but holding hands, walking down Grace Street, just like you do in all other books of the Bible. You say, sovereignty of God, where do you see the sovereignty of God? I see the sovereignty of God in the shepherd that took the initiative and went looking for the sheep, and the sheep don't even know it's lost. Woo! I see the sovereignty of God. Lord have mercy. I see the sovereignty of God in this woman, in the type of the Holy Ghost, who took the initiative and made the first move. And she's looking for something that can't find itself. Boy, the Calvinist, you're with me right there. You're sitting on the edge of your screen about ready to hit that donate button now. But hold on. Shallow man's not through yet. Oh, I see sovereignty in the shepherd. I see sovereignty in the woman. Oh, but wait a minute. Help me, son. I want you to go back there and stand at them doors and just wait till I tell you. And he's not on union time, is he? Praise God. He's going to be the prodigal. Now, you're a little bit tall, so get down on your knees. All right. Now watch this. I see the sovereignty of God in this shepherd. I see the sovereignty of God in this woman. Oh, but wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I see the responsibility of man in that boy down in that hog pen. Because here's what happened. The Bible said he got down in the hog pen, Brother Johnson, and he reached down there to eat that hog slop. But the Bible said, and when he came to himself. Woo! And when he came to himself, you know, when he came to himself, the first person he thought about was Father. The first place he thought about was home. And the first thing he thought about was bread. Father, home, and bread. Father, home, and bread. They just kind of go together. Home, Father, bread, bread, home, Father, Father, home, bread. It all just goes together. And when he came to himself, he thought of home, he thought of Father, and he thought of bread. And when he came to himself, he said, I'm quoting the Bible, I will arise. I will arise. I will arise. You look up here at me and my God-given eyeballs. Sounds like he's got a will to me. Sounds like he's got a will to me. Sounds like he's got a will to me. I will arise. Woo! And go to my Father. He'd have died in that hog pen. He'd have rotted in that hog pen. He'd have went to hell in that hog pen. But he said, I will arise. Oh, thank God. I'm glad a sovereign God sent a sinless son to seek and to save that which was lost. I'm glad a sovereign God took the initiative and sent the Holy Ghost when I was lost. But I'm glad he put it in my corner and said, if you want life, if you want salvation, come. And if I may use the words of the songwriter, I will arise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me in his arms. I wonder if there's anybody in this room tonight. Remember when you came to yourself, when you said, I will arise, and you came to Jesus and he took you in. Woo! Let me ask another question. If an old dumb country boy like me has got that figured out, what's wrong with all these smart people? Because you don't figure this one out in your head. You trust it in your heart. Get back up there. I didn't tell you to come back yet. Here we go. The Bible said, when he was yet a great, woo! When he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. Can I ask you what Samuel said? Do you have any more sons? That's good right there. When he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. Well, one of these deep thinkers said to Mr. Shallow Preacher the other day, "Dr. Arthur, how far do you think that was? When he was yet a great way off, how far do you think that was?" Well, notice what's happening in the text. The shepherd, the son, he's out there looking. The woman, the Holy Ghost, she's out there looking. But up to this point, that father ain't going nowhere. He's still at the house. Boy, that shepherd's out there doing the work. That woman that is in that house, I mean, she's a searching. That father ain't going nowhere. Just waiting it out up at the house. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. Amen. And then the father gets in on it. But when does the father get in on it? When he comes to himself. When he says, "I will arise." The father didn't leave the house until the boy said, "I will arise." Somebody said, "How far was that?" I believe in infinite mercy. Whoop! And matchless grace. When that boy stood up, the father said, "That'll do, that'll do." And he ran. And he fell on his neck. "I ain't going to kiss you." Oh! But he said, "Hey, come on. Hey, come on." And all the way down the road he said, "Hey, hey, hey, this is my boy. Hey, this is my boy. Hey, this is my boy." He was lost. And this, oh, aren't you glad God sent Jesus for you? Hold on. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad God sent the Holy Ghost for you? Woo! Aren't you glad one day, whoo, you said, "I will." And he said, "That'll do." Oh, I see the boy. He comes to the father. And the father said, "I can't handle that. Bring the best robe." That's clothing grace. Put a ring on his hand. Covenant grace. Put some shoes on his feet. Commissioning grace. Bring that fatty calf. That's communion grace. And said, "It's party time. That's celebrating grace." Boy, I see him up on the porch. And he turns around. And he gives him the grand prize of grace of them all. You said, "Your author, you've lost your mind. You come to hear me?" Oh, you say, "Brothers, what could be better than the robe? What could be better than the shoes? What could be better than the ring? What could be better?" And for you vegetarians, it wasn't squash and cauliflower and spinach. It was calf meat. Just let me stop and say, if you don't think old time salvation makes the difference, he went from hot slop to filet mignon. Is there anybody in this room tonight? By the grace of God, you went from hot slop to filet mignon, and there's a table spread where the saints of God have fed, and I'm glad throughout the glory world we're going to celebrate God's salvation. But better than the calf, better than the ring, the robe, and the shoes, Here's the crown jewel of grace. The Father said, "Hey, y'all! Look up in here. This. Mine. I want you to know he's mine. This my son. He was dead. It's claiming grace. It's claiming grace. And aren't you glad when Jesus came and the Holy Ghost came and you said yes, the grace of God that I claim on you. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Woo! Lord have mercy. I forgot to tell you this. The whole purpose of the parable was to answer a pharisaical question, an accusation. This man perceives sinners. This man's a friend of sinners. And he said, "Yeah, and I'm going to show you how. I'm a shepherd that seeks. I'm the Spirit that searches. And I'm the Father that sings. For I once was lost, but now I'm found." I just want to stop and say thank God for grace. You may be here tonight and you got a prodigal daughter, a prodigal son. That verse right there gives me hope. Don't give up. God still saving prodigals. Can I encourage you tonight in the last moments of this meeting, sing another song, "God Still Saves Sinners." Teach another lesson, "God Still Saves Sinners." Knock on another door. Pass out another track. Give one more witness, for God still saves. Let's stand together, Lord. We love you tonight. We thank you for your mercy, your grace. Thank you, Lord, that you found us and you saved us and you claimed us. Help us tonight, Lord, to leave this place sowing the gospel seed and proclamating the good news that there is a balm in Gilead and there is a sympathizing Savior. Unto you be glory and dominion and praise. In Jesus' name.